Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
Good afternoon. I want to speak to you this afternoon about repentance. It was a nice introduction to that subject. Thank you. This is the Word of God from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, when most people look at their lives, they think there are probably some changes they need to make. Most people want to improve their lives and make them better in some way. Sometimes we even make resolutions to change. Sometimes we do this at New Year's, called New Year's resolutions. Sometimes we may even make a pact with somebody, maybe make a pact with a friend to lose weight or something like that, to make that change so that you can keep yourself accountable for continuing to make that change. One survey I read online said that when most people resolve to make a change, for 75% of them, it lasts 1 week. 1 week. Only 46% of them will make it through 6 months trying to make a change in their lives. Making up your mind to change is a lot easier than keeping your mind to change, keeping it up. Here's a list of top 10 changes that I found online of changes people would like to make in their lives, resolutions. I'm just going to read them real quickly. The first one is to lose weight. Second one is getting organized. The third one is spend less and save more. Number four is enjoy life to the fullest. Number five is staying fit and healthy. Number six, learn something exciting. Number seven, quit smoking. Number eight, help others in their dreams. Nine, fall in love. 10, spend more time with family. Repentance is a lot like making a change in your life, or resolution, or resolving to make a change in your life. When you repent, that's what you're doing. You're resolving to make a change in your life. To repent is to turn from the path that you're going down and to go the other way. You're going this way, and you're making a 180-degree turn and going the other way. That's what repentance means. To turn from evil or sin and turn back towards God. This is what Jesus was telling us to do in our scripture. It's a command. Repent. It's almost a little mini sermon in one word. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus was on the earth to initiate his kingdom, which would last forever and ever, a kingdom of righteousness. His kingdom where there are only two rules, love God and love others. If we would only do these two things, love God and love others, the world would be a peaceful, happy place. If everybody would do those two things, the world would be at peace. And that's why Jesus wants us to repent. He wants the best for us. He loves us. He came here to freely give his life for us on the cross so that we could have peace with God and could live a life of peace and happiness if we'll just repent. That's why there's such an emphasis in the Bible on repenting. Your best life is waiting on you. You just have to repent. Now, it may seem that your best life is doing what you want to do, what you think is best for you to do, doing what you think is right for your life. Have you ever heard that from anybody? I have to do what's right for me. This is my life. That's just not the case. God knows what's best for you. He alone knows what's best for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. You were bought with a price, and the price was steep. It cost God his precious Son who died for your sins. That's the price that was paid for your sins. Ravi Zacharias is a Christian apologist. He's originally from India, and he lives in Atlanta, and he has a worldwide ministry, speaks at colleges and before many different groups of people. And he said this once. He said, God gives you the most sacred gift of the prerogative of choice. We have this gift of choice that God's given us. But God will not give you the privilege of determining a different outcome to what the choice will entail. The consequences are bound to the choice. In other words, you'll reap what you sow. Yes, you have the freedom to choose in life, but you're not free to choose the consequences that those choices entail. So let's look at a couple of our top 10 list of changes or resolutions that you might make in your life. Number one, lose weight. How many people want to lose weight? I do. We have the freedom to eat whatever we want, as much as we want. But we're not free from the consequences, are we? No. If you eat whatever you want, as much as you want, you'll be overweight, and you may have some health problems. And the Bible says you'll come to poverty and drowsiness. Proverbs 23, verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That's a warning. How about number three? If you spend everything you make, don't give to God, and don't save, you may be poor in your old age. You may have to do without. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This comes with a promise from God. Give to God with your first fruits. In other words, give to God before you pay your bills or yourself, and He'll bless you. That's a promise from God. Now, that's not the reason you should give, so you can get something back from God. You should give to God out of a grateful heart for all He's done for you, for His grace and His mercy and His love. So give to God first, then save, then pay your bills. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. This is saving for a rainy day. The ant doesn't eat everything he has in the summer. He saves some from the fall for the fall and winter. So these are just a couple of examples of popular resolutions or changes that people would like to make in their lives. Eat less, save more money. We may need to repent from these things of eating too much and spending too much, or we may need to repent from something else, but we all need to repent. And repentance is not just a one-time thing. Repentance is a daily thing. We're sinners, and we tend to veer off the right path, and we have to correct ourselves and go down the right path. That's turning and going the right way. Repentance is often a U-turn. You're going down a path and you have to turn all the way around and go the right way. You're going down the exact opposite path. Let me give you a couple of examples from the Old Testament. First of all, Webster's Dictionary defines repentance as the act of turning around an improper behavior, sorrow for what one has done, especially contrition for sins. When we're born of the Spirit of God, one of the first things that we should do is recognize that we're sinners and want to turn from that sin. The Hebrew word for repentance is shub, which means to turn back or returned, return to God. The idea is to turn from that sin and return to God. And sometimes we may think, well, we're pretty good folks. You know, I do all right. But even if you get off path a little bit, that's what sin means, is to miss the mark. You're not headed towards God like you should be. So everybody has work to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30, says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. See that? Turn to the Lord thy God, because he's a merciful God. When you turn towards him, he's going to accept you and have mercy on you. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. So repentance is a turning. It's a turning away from sin and turning back to God. So how do you do this? How do you turn from sin and turn back to God? Let's break it down a little bit. The first thing you have to do is you have to change your mind. And the second thing, after you've changed your mind, then you can change your action. So first, change your mind. Second, change your action. You can't change your actions until you first change your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, says the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul's teaching us that you have to renew your mind to be transformed. Your mind has to change. So when you make up your mind to repent because you've been going down the wrong path, this is called remorse for your sin. You're mourning over your sins. Blessed are they that mourn. You know you've done something wrong and you're sorry for what you've done. You've changed your mind. You know it's not the right thing to do, and you know you need to turn and go down the right path. And it has to be true remorse for true change to take place. Have you ever seen a mom trying to get her little boy to apologize for pulling his sister's hair or something like that? Have you ever seen that? Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry to your sister. And he goes, sorry. Well, through his gritted teeth, he says he's sorry, but that's not really true repentance or remorse. He's not really sorry. He really didn't have a change of mind. He's just doing it to get his mom off his back. Well, when Judas betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver, the Bible says he repented. But was it true repentance or remorse? This is Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. It says he repented himself. But I think this probably means that Judas had a guilty conscience and regretted that he was suffering the consequences of his actions. Jesus had previously said that it would be better if Judas had never been born. So we can assume that this was not true repentance from a heart that wanted to turn to God. He was probably repenting because he was suffering the consequences of his action. Let's look at an example of true repentance, though. Remember the story of David? Brother Gus mentioned it a few minutes ago, how he committed adultery with Bathsheba. She became pregnant, and then David had her husband killed to cover it up. He committed adultery and murder. And the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to David, sent Nathan to accuse David of his sin. And then the Lord told David how he'd be punished. One of the punishments was that David and Bathsheba's child would die. I want to read David's first response after Nathan accused him and God pronounced his punishment. This is in 2 Samuel verse 12. This is after Nathan had just accused him. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. David wrote the Psalm 51 in response to God after Nathan had accused him. This is Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, Lord, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. So notice what David did. First, when he was confronted with his sin, he didn't make excuses. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to blame it on anybody else. He admitted it right away. I have sinned against the Lord, for I acknowledge my transgressions. David begged the Lord to spare his child, and he fasted, hoping that God would be gracious and save the child. But after the child died, what was the first thing that David did after the child died? He worshiped. He worshiped the Lord. He took the punishment he knew he deserved, and then he worshiped. That was rough. In our minds, we might think that punishment was too harsh, taking a child's life. But David accepted it, and he worshiped. God is still God. God's righteous. His ways are holy and righteous, even though we may not understand them. They're always holy and righteous. David showed an example of true repentance there. He immediately expressed remorse from his heart and acknowledged the righteousness of God, and he worshiped him. David had an immediate and certain change of mind when he was confronted by his sin. And this is the pattern for repentance that we should follow. Secondly, after the change of mind, with true repentance, there's a change of action. If you're going down the wrong path, to repent means to turn 180 degrees and go the other way, the right way. That's a change of action. First, you change your mind to turn, and then you turn. It's one thing to have a change of mind and be truly remorseful, but if you don't have a corresponding change of action, you can't have complete and true repentance. For example, all of us can make up our minds and agree that we need to eat less and more healthy. That has to be the first step. But what good does it do if we don't act on it? It doesn't do any good. We'll still suffer the consequences of that. We say to ourselves, you know, I've changed my mind. It's really not good for me to eat this whole pecan pie. Well, what good does it do? It does us if we eat the pie anyway. Or if we change our mind from the way we spend money and determine to save more in the future, but we don't do it. What good did it do us to change our minds about that and know that it was a good thing to save money? Action. We have to do it. We just have to do it. When you repent of your sin, you turn and go the other way to not sin anymore. Remember after the adulterous woman's accusers came before us and they dropped their stones and went away? Jesus simply says to the woman in John chapter 8 and verse 11, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Turn from your sinful ways and sin no more. That's it. It's simple. Turn and go the other way and sin no more. Is that action, not doing something? He was telling her not to do something. If you've ever struggled with sin, you bet it is. It's doing something to not sin. It's hard. Many times to repent is resisting the temptation to sin. So it's not doing the thing. There's also a repentance when we haven't done what we should do. Sins of omission. Many examples of this in the scriptures. Story of the Good Samaritan, the priest who saw the man injured lying by the side of the road. And they just passed by him on the other side, didn't stop to help him. They should have repented and determined to help the next time they saw somebody in that situation. Jesus showed that the Good Samaritan who took the action of helping the man to the inn and paying for his care was the good neighbor and was loving others as himself. When Jesus told the story about the judgment at the end of the world in Matthew chapter 25, he said, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. If we're not doing these things, then we should repent and do them. This is what Jesus told us to do. Jesus was a man of great and beautiful words, but he was also a man of action. He came and he worked. He fed the poor. He healed the sick. He preached. And ultimately, he died for our sins. He was a man of action. And we have work to do too. If we're not working, let us repent and turn the other way to do these good works that God has commanded us to do. And if we're involved in some kind of sin, let us repent and turn back to God. Turn from that sin and back to God. God's full of mercy to forgive us. A lot of these scriptures I read were paired with the mercy of God. It would say, repent and turn because God is merciful. You know that when you turn back towards God, he's going to accept you because he's a merciful God. He's going to accept you with loving arms when you return to him. There was a pastor, an English pastor, named Robert Robinson, lived in the 1700s. Not only was he a gifted pastor and preacher, but he was also a very talented and gifted poet and hymn writer. But after many years of pastoring his church and keeping the faith, he began to drift. He left the ministry, and he moved to France, indulging himself in sin. One night, he was riding in a carriage with a Parisian socialite, and she had recently been converted to Christ, and she was interested in his opinion on some poetry she was reading. And she read the poem to him. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never failing, call for hymns of loudest praise. When she looked up from a reading, socialite saw Robinson and he was crying. What do I think of it? He asked in a broken voice. I wrote it. But now I've drifted away from him and can't find my way back. But don't you see, the woman said? The way back is written right here in the third line of your poem. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Those streams are flowing even here in Paris tonight. That night, Robinson repented. He turned back. He turned his life around, and he turned back towards Christ. It's never too late, never too soon, to repent and turn and go the good way, the way back to God. May the Lord bless you.
I've enjoyed both of our messages this afternoon. Repentance is a very difficult thing for every one of us. A lot of times the Lord's really got to turn the heat up in our personal lives before we repent. You know, repentance involves forgiveness. It involves repenting of perhaps things that we once believed when we come to see the truth of what God's Word teaches. Repentance really touches every facet of our lives. But what we miss out on when we do not repent is something that there is a promise in God's Word, and that is that we forget that when we repent, we find a closer fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we always have to remember that the thing we give up gives us something back that is much more valuable than what we had before.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.